ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 ज्ञानम्
ज्ञानम्
गुह्यतम्
गुह्यतम्
गुह्यतमम्
यत्तत्
साक्षात्
भगवतोदितम्
अन्वोचन्
गमिष्यन्त
कृपया
दीनवत्सला
ज्ञानम् गुह्यतमम्
यत्तत्
साक्षात् भगवतोदितम् अन्वोचन् गमिष्यन्त कृपया
दीनवत्सला
ज्ञानम्
knowledge
Guhyatamam,
most confidential.
Yat, what is. Tat,
that.
Sakshat,
directly.
Bhagavata uditam,
propounded by the Lord Himself.
Anbavochan,
gave instruction.
Gamishyanta,
while departing from.
Kripaya,
by causeless mercy.
Dinavatsala, those who are very kind to the poor and meek. Translation. As they were leaving, those Bhaktivedantins who are very kind to poor-hearted souls instructed me in that most confidential subject which is instructed by the personality of Godhead Himself. Purport. A pure Vedantist or Bhaktivedanta instructs followers exactly according to the instructions of the Lord Himself. The personality of Godhead, both in the Bhagavad Gita and in other scriptures, has definitely instructed men to follow the Lord only. The Lord is the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of everything. The whole manifested creation is existing by His will. By His will, when the whole show is finished, He will remain in His eternal abode with all His paraphernalia. Before the creation, He was there in the eternal abode, and after the annihilation, He will continue to remain. He is not, therefore, one of the created beings. He is transcendental. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that long, long before the instruction was imparted to Arjuna, the same was instructed to the sun god, and in course of time, the same instruction, being wrongly handled and being broken, was again instructed to Arjuna, because he was his perfect devotee and friend. Therefore, the instruction of the Lord can be understood by the devotees only, and no one else. The impersonalist has no idea of the transcendental form of the Lord, cannot understand this most confidential message of the Lord. The expression most confidential is significant here, because knowledge of devotional service is far, far above knowledge of impersonal Brahman. Jnana means ordinary knowledge or any branch of knowledge. This knowledge develops up to the knowledge of impersonal Brahman. Above this, when it is partially mixed with devotion, such knowledge develops to knowledge of Paramatma, or the all-pervading Godhead. This is more confidential. But when such knowledge is turned into pure devotional service, and the confidential part of knowledge, of transcendental knowledge, is attained, it is called the most confidential knowledge. This most confidential knowledge was imparted by the Lord to Brahma, Arjuna, Uddhava, etc. So we see here the progression of Narad Muni's devotional service. As he takes up the association of the Bhaktivedantins, by their association he took some prasad, by that prasad then he developed that faith in the process. his faith is actually coming from association of devotees. So it starts there. We always start Shraddha, Sadhu, Sangha, Bhajana, Kriya, but Shraddha comes from association with devotees. Without that, the seed can't be planted. This is Bhakti Lata. So that means the seed of devotion then has to come. And that seed then comes through the devotees. So he first had the association of the devotees. Then from that, then he took up that faith. Then he took up their association. Then in that association with them, then he started to serve them and follow, you know, hear their instructions. From that began that development of the taste. And from that development of the taste, then it came, development of the taste, then he became, which says here, fixed in the devotional service. And then from that, then it says that the passion ignorance was removed. Before that time, passion ignorance is still something there. Because goodness, in Nishta, the platform of goodness is there, but still some passion, some ignorance still remains. But then that becomes removed when one becomes fixed in devotional service and gains a taste. Because when the taste, higher taste comes, the lower taste starts to go. So that's passion ignorance. And then goodness, then that in itself, then is a good platform, but then it has to go beyond that. So then he became, we see here, fixed in that taste. And then from that, then came all good behavior and all these different things. So all the gentleness comes, because when there's desire, then there's roughness. When that desire goes, that roughness goes. So then the senses become fully subjugated. Because otherwise, then with desire, the senses, when they want to move here, want to move there, want to move everywhere. So it becomes a difficulty. So then we see that then he became attached to these devotees. Right? He became attached to these sages. So that's actually the position, is that the most important attachment is the attachment to devotees. It means attachment to Krishna is not complete unless you have attachment to devotees. That's why Prabhupada says most confidential knowledge. Confidential knowledge, you know the Supreme Lord, right? Paramatma. He's there, he's God. Right? Paramatma is just as much God as Krishna in his Bhagavan form. The difference being is Paramatma is alone. Right? That's what makes Paramatma Paramatma. He's alone. So then there's us and him. What makes Bhagavan special is because it's Krishna and his devotees. So that means until we develop attachment to devotees, we don't actually have attachment for Krishna. Because that service to Krishna is done in the association of the devotees. It's not done elsewhere. It's not done somewhere else. Then one comes to this most confidential platform. So that is very essential point, very key point here, is that unless one can develop that special attachment to devotees, then one won't progress nicely. So that always has to be kept in mind, is that the attachment to devotees is actually the essential point, because the devotees are attached to Krishna, by their association will become attached to Krishna. But we're not going to become attached to Krishna without the devotees. Because if we say, no, we're attached to Krishna, but then that means Krishna means his pastimes. Right? At some point, the pastimes have to come into play. Right? And pastimes means with devotees. So if you don't like the devotees, how will it be pastimes? Right? Krishna couldn't hold the rasa dance because the position of the devotees was not appreciated. Right? Krishna wants to dance with Radharani in the middle, so then he gets the full experience of the rasa dance. And then to expand that, then he and Radharani can see all the other gopis with Krishna's expansions dancing. So then that's more fun. Right? He's already having full fun. And then that's expanded by seeing the dancing with all the other gopis. But the other gopis wouldn't tolerate Radharani's in the middle because they're all the same. Right? There's just them, and they're trying to be with Krishna. So until it comes to the platform, they accept the devotee, then they can actually have pastimes. Otherwise, of course, it's pastimes, but it's not to the standard. It doesn't actually come to the platform. So that's why it's very important that the attachment to the devotees then is developed. If that is there, everything else will come. Because by the association of advanced devotees, then we will develop all good qualities. Everything will start to happen. But if we don't, we won't. It just won't happen. Like that, if it can't happen separately, then the attachment to the devotees. So we see it's by the devotees the seed is planted. We're hearing from the devotees. We're serving the devotees. By that, we become fixed. Then we get a taste for the name. And now it's not that now we leave the devotees. Right? That's the impersonal concept. You approach the devotee, then you get instruction from them, then you advance, and then you become the guru. You move on, and there's no need of guru anymore. But actually, advancement means how much you are becoming attached to the devotees. So you have faith in the devotees, you associate with the devotees, you follow the instruction of the devotees. You remove those things from the heart that the devotees say are unimportant. You become fixed in the service of the devotees. You're attached to that service. You develop a taste for that attachment too. Right? Because that's our position, servant of the servant. So then we see is that these Bhaktivedantas, they explain to them the most confidential knowledge. So that means Bhagavan. That means his devotees. Because the opulences, what is the meaning? As Atmarama, they're manifest. I mean, they're there, but they're not manifest. They only manifest in Leela. And Leela means devotees. So that's the concept that is coming. So we see is then in that Narad had all these nice qualifications. He was gentle. You know, sins were eradicated by service, right? That's the important thing. That service is done in knowledge. That's what jnana means. Prabhupada mentions that any knowledge other than transcendence is knowledge. That knowledge then can bring one to the transcendental platform, but not bhakti. Right? So that means all knowledge other than transcendence, it's only used as if it can be engaged in the Lord's service through with knowledge. That gives you liberation. That's automatic. That comes on the side. But the bhakti, that is what takes you through. Right? The knowledge will take you to liberation. If you have some knowledge of the Lord, some devotion is mixed there, then that will you'll understand the Lord as Paramatma. But if that's fully appreciated, then it takes one through to the platform of Bhagavan realization. So there is prema. There is no prema for Paramatma. The yogi has to make a choice. He sees the Lord, he either surrenders and takes up fully bhakti and accepts him as Bhagavan, or he merges into him and steps back to the impersonal platform. Right? So in other words, the Paramatma platform is not a stable platform. It's not an eternal platform. So he has to make a choice, go forward or go back. Like that. And the impersonalist also is that they, when they come to the Brahma-bhuta, they mean when they come to the liberated platform, they either take up devotional service, like the Kumaras, and move forward, or after some time, they will become attracted to activity and come back into the material world. So it's also unstable. So only Bhagavan is stable. So that's most confidential knowledge. Because others are knowledge, confidential knowledge, but they're not on the same platform. They're not on that transcendental platform. They're not actually on the transcendental platform. So here then we see that Narada is showing perfect example here. That even though he's coming through in this way and everything, then it's coming very, very, very typical. Now here, typical in the sense, mean using it in Indian English. Typical means very traditional and orthodox. That's the meaning of typical. American typical means it's just kind of ordinary, you know, standard. But here, his elevation, his showing of perfection, then is, you know, perfect. It's proper way. So then, through this, he's giving perfect example. So it's very proper in this situation for him to show this example for Vyasadeva so he could understand what he could do to improve his situation. That's what needs to be done. So Vyasadeva then we see here is by the association of the devotees and hearing from them about the Lord that was imparted by the Lord himself, that's the most confidential. Right? So that is actually the most kind to the poor-hearted souls. So Vyasadeva has written the Vedic literatures and the Mahabharata out of his kindness. People are interested in material endeavor, interested in material life. So then he tries to fulfill that so that they will be pleased. Right? That's a natural thing. Someone who's kind-hearted wants to please other people. So now he wants to please them because they have material desire. He tries to please them through this material desire. But in such a way that's beneficial to them and they can be elevated if they gain knowledge. So he gives them the process and the knowledge. But as Narduni points out, the people won't follow the restrictions, and they may or may not catch that knowledge. Because the real thing is associating the devotees didn't become the prominent thing. Respect for guru, respect for the elders, that is all brought out in the Vedic literature. Well, that has to be done. There's no question of human life less than that. There's no respect for for one's gurus. Then there's actually, it's not human like that. You see, even dogs respect someone who's bigger than them. Right? You have the big dog. All the other dogs are very nice, wag the tail. They're all very nice. You can see it. So even the dogs are better. So then a human who doesn't respect the elders, the seniors, then they don't even come up to a dog's platform of existence. We have to be something more vicious and violent. I think that's what Mana mentioned. Those who disrespect like this, revile the Vedas and other things like this, then they take birth in violent animal species because they don't respect anybody. Okay, so then, now he's pointing out is your motive was to be kind-hearted. Your motive was to be good and nice and help these people. But the real help and nice are the Bhaktivedantas. Right? They're the actual, know the essence. Because he said they're the Vedantas. So Veda is the essence of the Vedas. So he was giving Mahabharata as the essence. But the real essence is Vedanta. And these, then being Bhaktivedantas, then they are the most compassionate. So their kindness was then how to giving the Lord's instructions. So we see is the Bhagavatam that is full of the instructions of the Lord and the instructions that is of the Lord given by the devotees. That's what makes Bhagavatam unique. Other places, the Lord sometimes speaks or devotees are talking. Subject matter is so many things. But we see when the Lord himself impersonally instructs, then it's always transcendental. He doesn't instruct in other things like that. So that's it. We see the Gita, we see Uddhava Gita, we see the Kapilas speaking. It's always how to get out of the material world, how to develop one's relationship with Krishna, how to develop that devotion. So that knowledge then given from the pure devotees, that is the most kind gift that can be given. It says of all charity, the best is transcendental knowledge. You can't give a better gift than that. There's nothing more charitable than that. You can feed people, that's nice, you can give cows, you can give wealth, you can give, and better than that is giving a daughter in charity. Right? The better than that is giving the Veda. So that's it. So we can see is that the real standards then have to be learned from the scriptures. So we see that when Prabhupada says the best welfare activity is distributing this, that is confirmed by all the scriptures. It's not just his sentiment or his angle. It is what the scriptures say. Right? The Dharmashastra lists all the kinds of charity and then gives the order of importance. And it says, after all this, that the gift of the Veda is the topmost. So that person who you hear that from, that person has to be respected. You can't not respect them, because you've been given the greatest gift. So here that Nara Muni is showing that. They're the most kind. That's the real welfare. Other welfare works are nice. You know, the good. You have money, it should best be given, you have to do something. But it must always be understood as what is beneficial. Many devotees.
Yeah. How many people can say?
They take prashad and then...
They take prashad and take association with all the bearded bodies. And what is that to make them... that, you know,
the... Okay, so then... Someone has taken prashad, has association with devotees. It's just the main thing is how much they value it. Because much of the time you'll see those who go away on their value list, the devotees aren't the highest point. You know, so the spiritual master, the devotees, the holy name, these aren't the prominent on the list. Something else is more prominent. So then that, they get overwhelmed. But once one has actually taken up devotional service in the association of the bona fide devotees, they can't actually go away for very long. So that's always there. Because see, it's in ignorance one thinks something of second rate is good, but then, and then one has knowledge that it's not. Then when one, if one leaves and takes up, you know, that material pursuit, then it becomes very obvious like that. So the best is to learn by hearing, you know, then by seeing, then by being engaged in. So depending upon how deep-rooted are the desires, and that, then it may take more or less time to straighten out. But once they've taken it up, so it basically comes by, it can come by not taking seriously the association of devotees. One can get distracted. That would be more of an innocent, but not so focused. The other is by offending devotees. But we see in both cases, devotees are the key. That if one is going to come to advanced levels of devotional service, it's because of the desire to associate with those devotees and take seriously that. Then we see one moves forward. So if one's focused on the Lord and that the Lord is with the devotees, then that will be taken seriously. Then one will come into that association. Because we see is when one wants the Lord, he puts one in contact with the devotees. Vishnu's Kaviraj Goswami makes that point. When the soul decides he wants to know God, then Krishna will put him in contact with the bona fide devotees. And from the devotees, they'll learn about Krishna. So if we really want Krishna means then we'll get the association with devotees. And we'll value that. So if we're not so focused, then we may not. So we don't have that inspiration. We're not engaged so much. We don't get so purified. We don't develop the taste. And so then we can fall back on old taste, because taste must be there. That's the point, is one must get some taste. So it's either you find something else that you had before, you lower your standard, something has to be done that you have to, it has to get some taste, otherwise the soul is, you know, it's lost like that. So then that will be naturally if one's not focused enough, and that will be because of previous so much material desire. But if one offends those devotees, that becomes very dangerous. Because by offending the devotees, then what progress is made actually becomes checked. And then the material desires just grow up like weeds. So that then becomes very difficult. So then it takes a while. So you'll generally see is a devotee means you have both these. Those who just become overwhelmed by the senses, but they're still, if they meet devotees, they're still friendly, maybe a little embarrassed, but, you know, they're happy to see devotees and this and that. Then you have those who are not so happy to see devotees. And whenever you meet them, they criticize, they're critical, they're bitter, they're this or that. So as long as that mood is there, they stay outside. And then you see when that bitterness and other things kind of wears down, because they start to figure out, well, the material world actually isn't that great. The karmis aren't actually that much nicer than the devotees. Material freedoms and facilities actually don't really give any satisfaction or protection. Then you see they start to soften, and then, you know, reconsider, maybe the devotees aren't that bad. Okay, you know, something, you know, okay, things happen, but like that. And as that progresses, then you'll see they come in contact with devotees and meet them. They have better, you know, experience. Slowly, slowly that comes, and then when they appreciate the association of devotees, then naturally they come back into the fold of devotional service. So you see, the key always comes back to devotees. That's always the key in the whole thing. Like that. Many times it's overlooked, but that's the natural thing, because the first stage is will be more led paramatma. Okay, there's God. But when it comes to the point of understanding God has devotees, then it goes to another level. That's most confidential. Is that okay?
Yeah. We're speaking about paramatma, and if you, it's not a standing platform, mm-hmm. you remind me how some identify themselves with the paramatma, and it's most convincing they merge into the body and the Lord. Mm-hmm. And the others, they get wrong realization, or what is that unsteadiness
in the paramatma realization? Means the Lord is stable, but the point is, unless you have a relationship with the Lord, then there's not, that won't remain. You have to have a relationship with something. And in that relationship, then there is the interaction, or there is the activity. And then the relationship is nurtured like that. That's why Shantarasa is sometimes not considered a rasa, because there is no activity. There's appreciation, so it's a glimmer of service. You know, that you're appreciating, but it doesn't actually manifest. You don't manifest that, you know, other than you're just pleasant, or, you know, maybe like to be around or see, but that's it. It's not dynamic. So when the yogi comes to the point of samadhi, then he sees the paramatma. Then if he thinks, this is me, then he goes into the impersonal. Then if he understands, recognizes, according to Panini, that this is the Lord and there is a difference, then that's a better position. So now he has the choice to take up service to the Lord, or he merges into the Lord's body. So if he chooses to merge, that's even a worse position than the impersonalist, because the impersonalist doesn't know. He doesn't actually know that God's somebody else. But the yogi who follows, you know, more traditionally Patanjali's system knows that he's different. He knows he's the Supreme Lord, but he has the desire to merge into him. So there's still that desire to get out of the material energy. So that's more unfortunate, probably, points out, because you know, and then you take up the impersonal platform. But it's slightly different in that you know it's the Lord, but you want to merge into Him, rather than you think you He is you, I am that, you know, because that is Krishna, that's not us. So it's a slight difference, basically the same thing. Does that make some sense? So the point is the Paramatma has to move forward to bhakti. When they get realization of the Lord, then they need to take up service there. Then that's progressive. If they don't do that, then they get stuck. You know. And then for a long time, they'll be there until they decide they want to do an activity, and then the only activity they know is the material world. So they'll come back again. So that's why it's temporary. If they take up service to the Lord, then it moves into bhakti. Then they give up the Ashtanga yoga system and just perform devotional service. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Are the devotees that are coming now less fallen than the ones before? Well, you can check a few questions, like, do the ones now have a job? You know, I mean, like that. What's their stand on, you know, illicit sex and drugs as the ultimate goal of life? You know, so they've kind of been there, done that, and figured out there must be something else. So it's like you see in one sense, there is. Focus is generally good, things like that. It's more or less, more active, like that. But the basic principle is that's not so important. The main principle is that Lord Chaitanya is starting to most fallen, so Kali Yuga is the place. And so then it's natural. And also in the beginning it's natural there'll be more. So that's what Prabhupada is talking about, the future generations. Like we would talk highly of the third generation. Those would be very, you know, elevated souls. Like that.
Without the first generation, they could not be elevated. They would need a culture made by the first.
Yeah.
So you cannot compare like this.
Yeah. He's making a point is you don't generally compare. Because the one is based on the other, you know. It means the first establishes the foundation. The main thing of that to be useful in one's life is that the first generation is not proud of their previous samskaras. That's the importance. So individually it can be applied on yourself. You don't apply it on others. Is that it's one of the symptoms of devotional service and the mode of ignorance, that we're proud of our material qualifications, our previous, our intelligence, our ego, our this and that. And that will always slow down devotional service. So if we're proud of our previous, you know, samskara, then that's not very good. You know, sometimes because of that, we came to devotional service, it's that I was, you know, really dhyani, I was really looking, searching, you know, it's like, you know, first I checked out Acapulco Gold, and then I checked out Panama Red, and I was really a searcher, you know, I was really, you know, checked out Red the Prophet, you know, it's very dynamically, so that kind of thing is, we may be proud of, but it's not so special, you know, just because one eats brown rice and, you know, cuts his tomatoes this way and not that way, doesn't really make one advanced like that. So these kind of things might get bogged up. So for that reason, then we understand Lord Chaitanya stays the most fallen first. Therefore, if we add it up, then okay, so maybe it wasn't. We're not coming from a great background. But as far as the whole pushing forward the mission, the main thing is that because he's saving the most fallen first, then they're also very special, you know, because they, you know, they get to do the pioneering work and that. So that dedication, that focus and all that, then also makes them very special. So what they have established, now others can come in who they themselves are, how you say, less wild, then they can relate to it. You know, the pleasant situations that have been created by those who, you know, were more courageous. So in either way, it's not. So only for yourself you generally use that. Yeah. Prabhupada's being present, that always has some specialness, but at the same time the instructions are also there, because it's like Prabhupada's elevating us with the instructions of the previous acharyas, like Gita, Nectar Devotion, the Bhagavatam. So they're non-different than those personalities. So you do have directly the association of those persons. When we read Bhagavatam, we're actually directly associating with Sukadeva Goswami, Sutta Goswami, Purikit Maharaj, or Gita with Krishna and Arjuna. So the same way, by reading Prabhupada's books, then everyone can get that benefit, at the same time as it is specialness to that association. So it's like you have both. So that's why, like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, at one Vyas Puja, they had cooked around 64 preparations. And so some of the leading devotees asked him, which preparation was the best? And he said, each preparation is better than the other. Right? Because they have their uniqueness. So that's a Vedic standpoint, is it'll mention, like it mentions a kingdom. So the kingdom has seven limbs. Without those seven limbs, you don't have a kingdom. And then it gives them an order. You know, that means like the king's first. You don't have a king, you don't have a kingdom. So he has to be first. Right? Then his minister. Without a minister, he doesn't really have good advice. And without, then he's a treasury. Without that, he can't get anything. Like this, it goes down the line. So it'll say that the first one, you know, in order, then that's their importance. The same time, it'll say, but at the same time, as you can't say one's better than the other, because each one of the seven does something unique that the other one doesn't do and is dependent upon. Okay? So then, like that, is you have both those angles. Is that there's the uniqueness of it. At the same time, you may say like this. It just depends on what you're taking your stand. If someone remembers Krishna at the time of death, they go back to Godhead. That's the point. You know, so whoever can do that, then that's standard. Is that okay?
In a previous class, you spoke about the tendency of conditioned souls to seek like-minded association. And I'm wondering, for clarification, so that I can understand better, if association with devotees means association with pure devotees, and what are some of those activities in association with the pure devotee and also with devotees who are sadhana bhaktas?
You all here? Okay, so the question on associating with pure devotees or associating with sadhakas. And what are activities there? Well, first is that pure devotee starts from the platform of Nishta, so that means the Madhyama is also pure devotee. And the Madhyama platform is still within Sadhana Bhakti. It's just there advanced. So that's the idea, Sadhaka is still there. Even Bhava Bhakti is still the Sadhaka platform, but it's Bhava Sadhaka. So Bhava is done with the spiritual body, while what we call sadhana bhakti is done with the conditioned nature. So in either case, it's still one is a kind of sadhana, though there is a distinction made. But pure devotee starts from madhyama, not from uttama, as is generally misconstrued. So then, that means then one tries to find like-minded devotees that are more advanced than us. Even if they're on, if we're a neophyte, if we find a more advanced neophyte, then that's to our advantage. So we always try to find those who, by seeing their example, by hearing from them, by their association, we become inspired. If that's there, then it's good. But if we're not inspired, then not so good. So the activities, then, main thing is that we have the nine processes of devotion that are done in their association. And that's the service that's rendered, and then interaction, then that is, you know, is given by Rupa Goswami, comes to mind as Bhunte Bhutanate. I think there's another part of the verse is there. Then Guhyam Apiti Bhichati. Grinati, pati grinati, bhujya makati kuchati, mukte bhojayate chaipa, sadhivam, pitilakshanam. These are the six, these are the how Vaishnavas intimately interact with one another. That's why last week we were mentioning the point about if there's no confidentiality, if the whole concept is that everybody is lives or public property, then that's not Vaishnava society. You know, it may be very nice moralistic society. But we see that Rupa Goswami in his introduction to Nectar Devotion and Kavi Karnapur and Ananda Vrindavan Champu, they take the moralists and turf them right out on their face. personally, Vaishnavas don't have anything good to say about moralists. Right? See, a moral person is a different thing, but a moralist we have nothing good to say about. A moral person is someone established on a higher platform, like a religious platform, a transcendental platform. And they have good character, like Narada Muni was describing, was that I was gentle in behavior and all my sins were eradicated in their service. This is somebody who is moral, but he's not a moralist. A moralist means that they have an ism, that they have a crusade, and they're trying to establish that. So their platform actually in consciousness is simply on the platform of extended sense gratification. Not very elevated at all. So in there, justice is there, economics is there. You know, it's all mixed in. So they're very moral, but you also check they'll be very economically inclined. Right? And they're very judgmental about others. So they don't actually have anything of substance in their own life. The only thing of substance is that they drop back to the central platform. That will be more substance than the pranamoy. Because rasa is tasted at pranamoy, manamoy, and anandamoy. It's not tasted in, anamoy, manamoy, and anandamoy. It's not tasted in pranamoy or vijnanamoy. Right? In other words, extended sense gratification, liberation, those tastes are actually just something in between. They're junctions between the actual rasa. Right? That's why the impersonalist, he has to go forward into transcendence or come back into, you know, religious life in the material world. And someone in pranamoy either has to go through to religion or come back onto sense gratification. Right? So the point is that, and generally you'll find the moralist has something that is there in their life that they're trying to establish or something. Something went wrong for them. So therefore they care about that for everyone else. As their Prabhupada makes the point is that the person's out there making a whole crusade about saving one animal, but at the same time they maintain their life by eating another one. So you'll see it's always like that. You maintain one class of the, you know, world order at the expense of another. So that's why moralists for the Vaishnavas are nobody cares at all. Right? That doesn't mean devotees aren't moral, because ethics is a major part of our philosophy. But ethics means not being a fool. Right? Fools are stubborn. Fools don't see the essence. Fools don't respect the superiors. Fools don't let this. Yudhura gives, I think, 19 different kinds of fools. Right? Chanakya. Any Niti Shastra opens with the definition of a fool. Because someone who's not a fool, they actually can understand the Niti. Right? So, therefore, without confidentiality, then you can't have Vaishnava society. It doesn't exist. Because why would you want to accept a gift or eat, take food from somebody you don't trust? Right? And how deep can a relationship go if you know that what you say to the person the next day will be on the internet? You can't go very deep with such a person. So that means you, limit yourself to shallow relationships. So you can't have Vaishnava society there. So that's why morals that aren't supported by religion are absolutely useless. Right? It's just like, you know, we have the typical example, you know, is that, you know, suddenly a crowd starts making all kinds of noise, and that person is sitting on the side peacefully in the street. Suddenly this crowd comes around the corner pushing this, you know, not very well dressed lady in front of them and jeering and that. And then the lady is, you know, pushed down to the end of the it's because it's a dead end. And that, and then everybody goes to pick up their rocks. And then the person sitting on the side goes, "What's happening? Ah, she is an immoral lady. You know, she's an adulteress.
So the person said, okay, and now what will happen? He says, well, according to the law, then she will be killed by stoning. He goes, okay. But now, that's a nice thing, but who here has not done any sin themselves? So whoever hasn't, then you throw the stone because you're in a good position, and this lady definitely is not in a good position. So that would be actual justice. So everyone kind of looked at each other, dropped their rocks, walked off. So that's the actual position of moralists. Because something resonates that is there, right? You have music in your heart, then you find music everywhere, right? You have aesthetics in your heart, you have it everywhere. You have, you know, engineering, and you'll be seeing engineering in everything, you know? So whatever you have in your heart, that's what resonates with you outside. So if, you know, this strong moralistic thing is there in your heart, that means you have a lot of immoral things that you're trying to cover up for and to now prove yourself. You know, it's a standard thing. It's also within this community. Then let's say you've done something wrong. You want to reform yourself. You have to do above and beyond what the normal person would do. To prove it. Does that make sense? So that means, then, why would they say that unless that's what they're doing? Does that make sense? If the demand is to prove that you reform means that you do more than what anybody else would do, you become fanatic about it, then they can go, okay, you're reformed. Because now instead of being in the middle, you've come from the right, you have to go as far left as possible. Right? You can't just come to the middle and just be normal. So that means that's what they're doing. They have something that's there, so then they come all the way to the other side to prove, yes, I'm a normal, I'm a moral person. So that's why the platform is not so special. Right? Human life begins at religion, not at morality. Right? Like that. And someone was telling me the other day, said, you know, helping someone else, they were walking, going down the road, and there was, you know how you have these loose bowls? They don't belong to anybody, they're just walking down the road like that. So this loose bull came along and came across a pair of bulls that were working together. And there was an older one and a younger one. So the stray bull, then he went after the younger one. But somehow the younger one was strong, so he pushed them down the side of the embankment off the road. And then as soon as that was there, then the other bull that was in the pair helped the younger one, and then they both together pushed that stray bull completely off the road out into the field. Right? So even bulls have a sense, hey, I work with this guy all day, and I'll, you know, it's better for me to, you know. Like that, because, you know, you wouldn't want to be working with a bummed out bull, right? So it's, even animals have this sense of loyalty and other, you know, nice qualities. So it's not not special, right? Ants, you know, means you catch the queen ant, then the rest of them are free. You know, like that. Even termites are even more dedicated. You remove the queen termite, within 3 days, the whole rest of the nest, that's like, I don't know, hundreds, millions, they all die. You know, so I mean, there's some great loyalty here, some great sentiment is there. It's not that she feeds them so they die. No, they just no interest. So these kind of things are there. That's why Prabhupada says human life begins with varnashram, because that's above morality. It includes morality. Right? The higher level includes the other, just like in the rasas. Each higher rasa includes what's in the lower. Of course, you have to know the science, so you do include it. You know, that's also there. But so there, then the taking of prasad and exchanging of gifts naturally comes out because you have that mood of confidence, you have that affection. Then you can show it, because otherwise, then if that's not there, then you give a gift, and the other person may think, why did they give a gift? What is his reason? some political reason. Why are they giving food? What are they putting in the food? You know? They're putting something in the food. Is that why they're inviting you? You know what I'm saying? So it breaks down the whole thing. So that confidential, we see here, is the confidentiality is the main point of this verse. That most confidential knowledge. Guhyatamam. Like that. So that is what's here. Here it's like by prasad, then that enhanced, you know, like that, gave him the knowledge, the guhyatamam, the confidentiality, that's what was special here. So then that should always be seen as that's important. And yeah. So someone from the platform of Nishka, who's stable in the devotional service, who's preaching, who their focus is to push on the mission, to engage whatever they have in the Lord's service, that's a pure devotee. Does that make sense?
Say that someone who is sinless can throw the stones. Mm-hmm. The ones who are sinless, they don't want to throw no stones.
Yeah.
So it looks like in the bhakti also, we get to a point where we also have to take a decision, like the yogi. Do we enjoy the benefits of bhakti, being around the devotees, trying to associate with pure devotees, only hearing, or, like you said, do the mission. Mm-hmm. Go out there, do something for the people who still don't know, educate the younger generations.
Mm-hmm.
So, we also have like a kind of decision.
Mm-hmm.
Is it like that?
It's making the point is even the devotees have that point of, at some point of, are we just taking advantage of the association, or are we actually trying to implement what we are hearing? Right? Because we see Narada is taking advantage here, and then he goes out and applies. That will be the future parts of the chapters and all that, and explain how. And then also, the other point was made is that those who are sinless, then they don't want to throw the stone. Because by instruction and all that, you bring someone up. Because the point is by austerity, one is purified. It's mentioned even the bugs and worms and, you know, beasts and all that. By austerity, they become elevated to the head of the platform. Because it's animal life is very austere, right? You know, they don't take a bath, they don't shave, it's tough. It's tough, you know. They eat raw food, it's all so many things that they do. Like that. So then, by that austerity, they become purified of the sin. By that, they get elevated back into human life, and because they are purified now, the tendency is to keep going. They'll be pious and keep going. That would be the tendency. You know? And then after becoming so pious, then you become impious, becomes a samsara. So then austerity, and then austerity is coupled with one's service. So for a Brahmin, that means his austerity is studying and teaching. The Kshatriya to protect, the Vaishya to earn, and the Shudra to assist. That is their austerity. So if that austerity is performed with knowledge, then you get liberated. So if you perform your austerity without knowledge, then you'll be elevated to heavenly planets. Right? But if you perform your austerity or your devotion, your duties with knowledge, then you are freed from material entanglement. That's why I see in Gita, Krishna is always making the point of perform your duties with knowledge. But that only liberates you. So if it's done with devotion, then it takes you to pain. Then it's possible. Then that's the aspect, always remember Krishna. Performing your duties with knowledge, that's never forget Krishna. But with bhakti, that's always remember Krishna. So then that will take one across. So then there's that aspect of becoming serious focused, where service, pleasing Krishna becomes more prominent than pleasing yourself. That's where it becomes dynamic, devotional service. Because then we become steady at that point. Because as soon as we're trying to always fulfill our desires, then it'll be unsteady. When you get those desires engaged in Krishna's service, then that's better. When it's a matter of you're performing those services you like to do because only because they're pleasing to Krishna, then that's bad. Is that okay? Yeah.
You're saying that the Paramatma's voice alone, but sometimes we, it's said that he's surrounded by his devotees, but the sweated wing as Kumaras and, you know, seems like a regular thing. Some devotees say that he's always with associates, so
what is it? Yeah, so are we saying that Paramatma is alone, but then we see Krishna in Sweta Dweep, then he's always surrounded by his associates and that. So that's the reality. It means there's no such thing as Paramatma. Paramatma realization or the understanding is actually a conception of the material world. I think in the second canto, in early, maybe in the first chapter, there's a purport where Prabhupada mentions that the Brahmana realization and Paramatma realization, these are concepts of the material world. They don't have such a concept in the spiritual sky. Because Krishna is never alone. He's always with his devotees. But because we don't recognize the devotees, we only see Paramatma. But actually, if we have the eyes, then we see he Paramatma is with all his devotees anyway. It's just like Karana Daksha Vishnu, we think of him as alone. But he's got his palace, he's got his associates, he's got his pastimes, everything. We see from when Arjuna and Krishna went there, that it wasn't just they came upon this monstrous person lying in this ocean like that, but they came to his palace and were greeted like that. So he's doing that, but he also has his associates. So both are going on. By our real understanding, then we see the one. But if it deepens, if we come to Bhagavan, then we see Paramatma. I mean, then we see him with his associates. So if one is a worshipper of Vishnu, then one will see Paramatma with his associates. So then it's Bhagavan. And if one is worshipping another form of the Lord, then one will see that form of the Lord instead of Paramatma. Because Paramatma is just, he's a general form that he goes along with everybody, because Vishnu is the creator, maintainer, destroyer. But as soon as you are worshipping with devotion, that form that you worship, that will be who's in your heart. And then if you're worshipping Krishna and Vrindavan, then he's who's in your heart. And then when one gets to the transcendental realm, then he's outside the heart. And then you see him directly. Mm-hmm. So, that's it. Last point.
There are some arguments against each other. One says that devotees, only with pure devotees you get the full benefit of devotional service. You can listen to from pure devotees, and they can take you through the devotional process up to Rima, basically. And then now they say that also that the younger devotees, junior devotees, are not so advanced. They just came to the temple. They don't know about devotional service. They can't help you that much. And on the other side, they say that even you can learn even from animals, Chanakya Pandit says, even you can learn from animals, trees, or just anything. So what is because devotees? So what would be the...
What's the difference?
No, what is the... What is the scripture?
That one should hear from advanced devotees, same time as we see like in 11th canto, we have 22 gurus. So. Point is what he is seeing in his 22 gurus is what he's heard from the advanced devotees. Right? So having heard from advanced devotees, then one can learn from anywhere. Right. Because the point is depending upon the particular knowledge, you can get it from a source that's there. Let us say, okay, like let's say, I heard of many times you hear someone who's very sinful will tell someone who's pious how not to get involved in sinful activities. Because they know sin. That's what they do. That's their life. So they know the downside of it. They know there's not much benefit. But because of attachment and habit, they're unable to inspire themselves to get out of it. But they'll always recommend don't get into it. You know? So much of the time. Like we have this whole... the whole, I think it's actually international now, this whole, like, this group of persons who they before were, had some kind of, you know, drug abuse, intoxication, and that. And they, so they know that, and then they will tell others how to stay out of it. Like that. Or some of the best brahmachari lectures I've ever heard of came from women. Right? Because they know what women are, so then they tell someone who they know can be a brahmachari, don't get involved. Right? Like that. You know, so it's, you can gain something from any place. That's why I'm saying take gold from a dirty place. So gold from a dirty place, morality from immoral person or even a child, you know, a chaste girl from even a low-grade family, all these different things it's mentioned you can get from all these different places. So it's not limited, but it's based on the knowledge that's heard from Guru Sadhana Shastra. Like that. So even if that person is speaking, a new person speaking according to Guru Sadhana Shastra carries potency. Because if most devotees think about it, who got them in the door and interested in devotional service is possibly someone who had only been a devotee a few months, you know, or, you know, maybe years more than them. Many times. It wasn't your top, senior most person who, you know, gave you the back to Godhead out on the street or spoke to you at the Sunday feast. Right? So it's that because the potency is there. They heard it from those more advanced than them, and that's come back from Prabhupada's comfort and parampara. So because it's connected, it carries the force, the potency. The main thing is the point itself has the potency. The difference in it is the realization of how to get you to understand how to apply that in your life. That's the difference. That's how you define a Kshatriya. Kshatriya is one who can take the scriptures, these esoteric points, and make them directly perceivable through your senses in your life. That's a Kshatriya. So that means then the newer devotee may not have that potency, but to say Krishna is God, we're his servant, chanting Hare Krishna is the process, developing love for God is our goal, that's straight knowledge. That has that potency. But if you want to ask them how to apply that in your life, then they may or may not have more, you know, they can tell you what worked for them. Right? That's the difference. The more junior, they can tell you what worked for them or what they heard from someone else. They've heard that. But the more advanced, then they can tell you what works for you. Because they can see. That's what was mentioned. Narad Muni is telling Vyasadeva. Says you can see into the heart of all living entities. Like that. So because of that, then they can see. So many devotees would say, just when Prabhupada would look at you, he'd look right through you. So it's kind of like, you know, you can't hide. There's no hiding and presenting yourself as nice. I remember one devotee was telling me that he had never talked to Prabhupada or anybody about what his life was before. And then Prabhupada, you know, was in Bombay. You know, so all these gentlemen would come and like that. And he would point out to the devotees and tell them what they do. So he pointed at this devotee. He basically commented on what the lowest of low life he was leading before. You know, and now he's, you know, one of the dynamic preachers and this and that. And, you know, so it seems. And he's pointing out the potency of devotional service and chanting and this and that. The devotee was flabbergasted because he had never told Prabhupada what he was doing. You know, Prabhupada knew. He just knew that he was doing bad stuff. So that's the advantage. Like that. Because it's the vidyan. It's not the gyan. Because the knowledge with your service will liberate you. It's the vidyan that takes you beyond.
You need both.
Yeah, so therefore you associate with any like-minded devotee means that their goal is the same as yours. So if your goal is to go back to Godhead and please Krishna and Guru according to, you know, their direction, therefore then you find those, they may be junior to you, senior to you, equal to you, but they have the same purpose.
believe in service, serving them, is it the same, or is also
serving them, is it the same? It means the general principle of service devotees is always powerful. But then the more dear devotee is to Krishna, then naturally the more result you get back. It's said like a charity. You give charity to an ordinary person, right? Nothing special. Common beggar. You give him 1 rupee, you'll get back 1 rupee. You give to someone who is an ordinary person that dresses himself and presents himself as a Brahmin, though he's not. Then you give him 1 rupee, you'll get back 2. Because you've just respected that he says he's a Brahmin. That's why Jarasandha, when Krishna and Arjuna Bhima came as Brahmins, even though it's very obvious they weren't, like that, then he still respected him as such, because that's the culture. Someone claims he's a Brahmin, you respect him as one. But it doesn't mean that you take it beyond, because even within Brahmins, according to their knowledge, according to their character, according to that, then you accordingly give them facility and respect and charity. You know, so it's obvious they're only presenting themselves, when they're given that respect, that that's all farther goes. Then if you give someone who's knowledgeable in the Veda, they've studied the Veda, they practice the Veda, then you give 1 rupee, you get back 100,000. Right? And if you give to someone who's realized the Veda, right, then it's unlimited. You can't count it when you get back. So it's natural there is that. So it's by realization.
Can we give you the name?
Huh?
Can we give you the name?
Well, I would recommend some others here. More than that. The best we get back, though.
What about Lord Chaitanya said that he said you can give it to a higher. Lord Chaitanya said you can give it to a lowest.
That's the knowledge. Mm-hmm. Means, here we're just talking monetary piety, just to show that there is a gradation there, because the person who's highest is more dear to the Lord, therefore the result you get back is greater. But here in giving knowledge, if you give it to the lowest, if you're able to do that, then that's very pleasing to the Lord. Therefore, Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu, they were very dear to Lord Chaitanya, because they would go out and they gave the holy name to Jagai Mahai. So it's just depending on which way you're looking at it. In other words, the highest is trying to be to whoever they can give it to them. But whoever's lowest is trying to respect those who are higher. You always have the two. It's just like it's said that if the if the spiritual master understands that it's his guru that's saving the disciple, then he himself will take his disciple back to Godhead. Does that make sense? When the spiritual master understands he's not saving it, it's his spiritual master that's saving it, saving the disciple, then in that way he actually does save the disciple. But if the spiritual master thinks he's saving the disciple, then his disciple, who is respecting him as guru and following his instructions, he'll save his guru. Like that. Because the guru, the disciple has the proper attitude and faith, he'll advance because he's following the process. Right? The process is an eternal process. So despite the guru, if they're bona fide, it works. But if the attitude's not right, this process still works if the disciple's attitude is right. He'll take the guru back to God. So like that is then one always has to see that the right attitude is there. You know, so if you have the guru who thinks that, you know, I'm taking the disciple back to Godhead, and the disciple is thinking, so I'm a guru, but it's his guru that's taking me back to Godhead, then nothing's going to work. Yeah, that doesn't work. So that's the thing. You find those who jump over, you know, they'll prefer the angle of Jiva Goswami over to what Sri Prabhupada says, or, you know, Vishwanath and Baladev and Prabhupada, they're not consistent. Then it's not going to be fruitful. Like that. Because Rupa Goswami says you approach the previous acharyas through your acharya. That's the process. So even we approach Rupas through Prabhupada. So like that, then you always have the two angles. It means what the senior, how he sees it, how the junior sees it. Or the two, just like let's say you have a king and a Brahmin. The king respects a Brahmin for being more elevated than him, but the Brahmin respects the king because he's the king. So this idea is that one is respectable and the other is not. That's not very developed in culture.
The poor culture.
Yeah. So then just I was just trying to be nice. What you say is true. It's not a culture problem. But the whole idea is that everyone respects, every member of the Vedic system is respectable for some element. And so based on that, they're respected. But it doesn't mean that respect means worship. It just means what's appropriate for the position. Just like the parent may respect the child, so therefore what's appropriate for their dealing with the child, they'll deal. If they don't respect them, then they'll only exploit them and only take care of them when they want, how they want, for their own purposes. But if they respect them, then that will come, but they have to see that they become Krishna conscious. Because that child has taken birth in a family of devotees only to go back to Godhead. If he was meant to, you know, how do you say, get a Harvard degree and become a millionaire, then why would he take birth in the devotee family, where it's always a problem, you know, do we send him to karma school or not? You know, it's not you don't feel that confidence, because without confidence and focus, you don't get the result. You know, I mean, I think, heard of one or two devotees at Harvard. One of them was Vidyananda. You know, but I'm just saying, it takes focus to be materialistic. So if that's the goal, then you'd be born in a family who had that determination, their academics, they're doing and they're going, and then from a young age they become.
That's called hard.
Hard.
Very hard.
Yeah, very hard. So then, yeah. So that's the position, is that the born in devotee family is that. So therefore, if you respect them as an individual, that's why they've taken birth there, therefore then you'll give them that training and experience that is good for them as devotees. Right? Prabhupada mentions in the purport, the members of the Vedic community, they never were exposed to sense gratification. They didn't know about sense gratification because it wasn't important to them. That's why they always perform pure samskars, because there are millions of people who are pure. There's millions of people impure. You know? So purity is also a reality. Sometimes reality is taken as it must be impure, sinful, nonsense, disgusting, you know, rough. No, but it can also be nice. One's not naive. Right? Like Prabhupada, he grew up in a pure family. He has pure experiences. His whole life is pure. But because he grew up in Calcutta, therefore, no one in the world, anywhere, could take advantage of it. If you can survive Calcutta, then you can survive New York. Now, whether you survive Napoli, that's another thing.
There's a lot of more thieves
there. More, or it's like everyone? So the only ones who are not thieves are either too young or too old. They can't move around. They're in the cradle, they can't get out, right? Steal the kid next to them's rattle or something.
Yeah, in the
process of learning. The perspective. Is that okay? Yes. Yeah. Cool. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srimad Prabhupada ki. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.